It's time for Ask the Dean, our weekly feature with Rob Curietta, Dean of Music at the USC Thornton School, and Ursula T. Gibson of Sunland Tahunga wants to know, people play music from the 9th century all the way to the present. Where do they get the scores? Do orchestras have every single piece ever written in their library? How does it work?
That's a very interesting question. On the surface, it seems simple, but it's actually very complex. So I went to Larry Livingston, who is our music director for the Thornton Symphonies, and also to Josh Roach, who's our librarian for the orchestras, to really try to get a handle on this very complicated puzzle. The major orchestras, actually most orchestras, even university orchestras like ours, have a library. They have a library of some of the major works, and of course they use the music. One thing people don't realize, unless you've played in an ensemble, that you not only have the conductor's score, but you need all the individual parts. If a university or orchestra doesn't own something, then they usually rent it.
It's cheaper, I guess, right?
It is cheaper. It's still an expensive proposition. A rental for an orchestral piece can run anywhere from $200 to $1,000 to rent the parts. And that depends on what type of orchestra it is, how it's going to be used. If it's one performance, if it's going to be recorded, they charge a lot more for the rental. And you would pay more if you're a professional orchestra than if you're an academic orchestra. So, yeah, all of these, there's a sliding scale for all of these things. There's also another new change that has happened. If we go back to the 1960s, if you heard a recording from the 1960s, pretty much you have a score that came directly from a publisher. Since that time, the big movement has been for musicologists to do critical editions. So this adds another level on, in that many times the composers themselves weren't very careful. We find examples, Stravinsky was noted for. I mean, what was he really thinking here? Schubert had these great big crescendos and decrescendos written in his music that for years the publisher put big crescendo, big decrescendo.
And that means getting louder, crescendo, getting softer, decrescendo.
And it was a musicologist who actually went back to the original and realized those are just great big accents. So in other words, he wasn't very careful with the accents. So now there are critical editions to try to get into the composer's head. What did they really think? So that's a big change. And now there might be multiple critical editions. People are interpreting this is what Beethoven really meant, or this is what Mahler really meant. So now it's not only choosing a piece, it's choosing which critical edition do you believe in.
And that would be up to the conductor or
absolutely.
Guest conductor.
Absolutely.
Rob Curietta, great to have you with us again.
Thank you, Gail. Great to be here.